Steve Gruber is America's voice. Thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space.
All right, shifting gears now and dumping on the gas pedal. Gas prices jumped momentarily after that attack on the Saudi oil fields and refineries, taking out half of the Saudi production for a few days. But the Saudis responded quickly, and oil prices seem to have stabilized. But, you know, these attacks by drones show the vulnerabilities of our energy sources, certainly from other countries. Joining me is Robert Bradley, CEO of the Institute for Energy Research, a think tank in Washington, D.C. Robert, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Steve.
So when you look at these attacks, and you saw this attack with drones, first of all, that night oil jumped 18%, and so there was a hit worldwide in the price because effectively it took 2.5% of the supply off the world market. The Saudis responded quickly and have rebounded. But how vulnerable are we as consumers when this sort of thing happens?
Well, we weathered this really well here in the U.S. The jump in world oil prices was more in Europe than it was here in the U.S. If you look at West Texas Intermediate prices versus the Brent prices in Europe, and the jump for us was about half of what Europe experienced. Gasoline prices went up about a dime a gallon in the week after the attack. So it really was not much at all, and prices are normalizing. As a matter of fact, prices right now, even though they're up a few percent because of the Saudi attack, are down almost 20% from a year ago. So here you go.
So when you look at the infrastructure in America, you know, is it a bigger threat that drones attack Saudi Arabia, or is it a bigger threat that domestic terrorists attack pipelines and try to shut down fracking? Wisconsin and Pennsylvania both considering, at the state level, banning fracking altogether in their states. It'd be devastating for Pennsylvania. I don't know how much goes on in Wisconsin. But those would be bigger threats to our energy supply, wouldn't they?
Well, that's a real good point. And you might be talking about natural gas pipelines, or you might be talking about oil pipelines. I'm not sure which. But the other side, the keep it in the ground movement, they want to stop as much infrastructure, prevent as much infrastructure being built as they can. And this is certainly anti-consumer. And it's an attack that, you know, doesn't last a few weeks or a month as far as disabling your facilities. It's preventing you from having the facilities indefinitely. So that's a very interesting analogy.
So why would you want to encourage it? What do they want us to have donkey carts to get to work? What exactly is their plan? No cars, no trucks. We all have to get on an electric bus, so therefore we all have to move to town, and we'll just run a big fence around what we call the rural areas. Yeah, it's all a national park. I mean, that's kind of, I think, what some of them would want. You know, just run a fence around Montana and declare it off limits, for example. Your thoughts?
Well, the social benefits of fossil fuels are really beyond calculation. Fossil fuels are the first responder for floods like we recently had in Houston, Texas, and other parts of Texas, and other natural disasters. The idea that wind and solar and electric vehicles are going to help you during outages is exactly wrong.
You know, I saw AOC, our favorite congresswoman from New York, though, the other day, say, well, if you had electric cars, you wouldn't have to worry about the power going out, so you'd have to go to a gas station in Florida. And I'm thinking, she didn't really say that. But actually, she did. You wouldn't have to go to the gas station if we had electric cars, and you'd be okay in a power outage. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, until you have to plug it back in.
Right, but that doesn't occur to her. I mean, so it occurred to me yesterday, Robert, I see that the United States and Australia are teaming up to go to the moon and to Mars and beyond. I'm thinking, how many solar panels do you need to fire that rocket up to the moon? How's that going to work?
Well, you know, once you're in space, solar is a pretty good energy resource.
But you got to get there.
Yeah, you got to get there.
Right. So, I mean, is there really any practical plan here? If you banned all cars and trucks and got rid of internal combustion engines, there is no plan B, really, is there?
No, there's not. Personal choices such as eating meat that supposedly is bad for the environment because cows produce methane. This is a real road to serfdom, as F.A. Hayek would say.
Well, I've got, it's funny you should mention that because I've got it right here in front of me. Eating meat could be banned like smoking, says top barrister, as he calls for a new crime of ecocide in the U.K. That's not a joke. They want to criminalize the eating of meat. This is the next step. Apparently, flatulence from cows and meat production should be considered a crime. So eating a hamburger would be a crime. And I say ignore this nonsense, but this stuff tends to encroach and seep in and pollute the minds of young people all too often. I'll give you the last word, sir.
Well, we have a lot of educational work to do. The climate is not in crisis. The alarmists are confusing weather extremes, which we always have had and always will have, with a deteriorating environment. That's wrong. Whatever happens with the climate and the weather, you're going to need fossil fuels to deal with it. And the fact that fossil fuels has helped climate-related deaths drop 95% in the last century speaks for itself.
Robert Bradley, great place to leave it. CEO of the Institute for Energy Research, a think tank in D.C. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
Still to come, a former Assistant Secretary of State for George W. Bush, Robert Bobby Charles, will be here. Big stories still ahead on the Steve Gruber Show.